This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Entrepreneur Friday, we'll discuss a new app that puts you in touch with a virtual personal trainer, since a lot of people have had a tough time finding one during the pandemic. Dr. Anthony Fauci says it's time to start thinking about reopening schools in the fall. That is coming up in our next segment. Right now, let's talk about the strength of today's government jobs report. Diane Swonk is here, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Diane, what do you make of these numbers?
Well, I guess I should have listened to myself back in April instead of as I saw the losses in unemployment claims. What's interesting about it is we saw basically people, over half of the rebound was due to food services as restaurants started to reopen and callback workers. Two things happened. They also got PPP loans in construction and manufacturing. And also in the restaurant sector, we saw this big reopening. It's still a small fraction of the jobs we've lost in that sector. And it was a reopening in anticipation of Memorial Day celebrations. Since then, we have seen an increase in COVID cases and hospitalizations after the reopening that we saw over the Memorial Day weekend, which is discouraging because it ups the ante that we get a setback over the summer. What we're concerned about is that, you know, this is great to see job gains, but we need 10 times as much to get us back on the track we were prior to COVID. And so we're still a long way from home. And I think that's important to remember. Also, the strength of the number itself, great to have this upside surprise, embrace that. But the PPP loans, they're still trying to course correct on that. And having restaurants reopen when we were still in lockdown and bringing people back when we really weren't fully reopened is a difficult thing, and many restaurants having to operate at 25 to 50% capacity, they don't break even until 75% capacity, and that's with, you know, peak crowds on Thursday through Sunday, which is difficult to do in an environment that still requires social distancing. So what I'm worried about is that all the support we got in the economy, those PPP loans, the unemployment insurance that helped to allow for this rebound, that we get fiscal fatigue and we could fall off a cliff on that support in the end of July if Congress does not extend some kind of unemployment benefits, maybe not at the levels that we saw, and deal with course correcting on these PPP loans, which expire and could trigger layoffs over the summer.
Seems like there's a limit to just, even if the June report is good as well, there's a limit to the number of people who are going to be going to back to work soon based on what you're saying here. A lot of businesses are not reopening in the same way.
Exactly. We're not operating. You know, there is this Wall Street's looking at this as it's a gain and it's a V-shaped recovery. We saw the same thing coming out of many economies in Asia, including China. There was this enormous rebound initially. And then as they sort of started to come back, their service sector really struggled. People are still not going back to malls and public spaces as they once did, not showing up at retailers. Manufacturers have reopened, but they're only operating at 50 or 60% of capacity because the global economy is still weak. So, you know, the idea that we have a comeback, it's great to see large percent gains after a large percent drop, but it's really, we need a whole new language to talk about, you know, recession and recovery in a post-COVID era, because the magnitude, you know, even from the official government data, it's 19 million payroll jobs that were still down from the crisis, which is multiples of what we lost during the Great Recession. And we know that unemployment claims are much higher than that. We don't count a lot of the self-employed, and so that doesn't show up in those payrolls either. So I think it's really important to keep perspective on this. I embrace a rebound in jobs, but I am worried about the headwinds we face and how much aid it took us to get here. And if we lose that aid at the same point in time, we still have a lot of potholes in the road ahead. That could be a problem.
Always good analysis from Diane Swong, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. A top government health official says keeping schools closed in the fall because of safety concerns for children might be a bit of a reach. Let's talk about it with Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News based in Minneapolis. Michelle, what is Dr. Fauci telling us?
Dr. Fauci is telling us that we do need to start thinking about moving ahead, and we have a time period right now where the American school systems can start planning for how we can safely open up when it comes to the fall. And we really do need to do that because at some point, everyone can't be inside all the time. We can't see this cyclically over and over again. So since we have time to do it and figure out a way to do it safely, what works and what doesn't, he's telling people to get going.
And get going because it's just so far not affecting children like it is adults and those with health issues?
Exactly. Well, the issue, we've known right from the beginning that children are much less vulnerable to this virus. We're not entirely sure if they're, to what extent they're getting infected less, but certainly they're less likely to get very sick and to die from it. The numbers are very low when we're looking at kids under age 18. So the concern is that they might be passing the virus amongst each other and bringing it home to their families, their parents, their grandparents. But when it comes to actually going to school, they can be with each other safely. It's their interactions with others that have to be very carefully monitored. And then the question is what can we do in the school system to make sure that they're not passing the virus around and keep everyone as safe as we can?
As they talked at all on the federal level about just some of the basic logistics. I mean, you have moms and dads that need to go back to work, but they can't go back to work unless the kids are in school.
You're exactly right. You can't go back to work. When the school system shut down, most of our economy shut down, right? Everybody is affected by this. We have people who need to go to school to teach. We have people who need to go to school to be the administrators and the support staff. We have the kids who are there. We have the parents who are there. Like, there's an entire economy that runs around this. And there are ways that they can keep themselves safe. They can start using, you know, creative ways of spacing them out, every other seat perhaps. Maybe they could split schedules so that some kids come in the mornings and some come in the afternoons to make sure that we're not, you know, circulating anything around to all of them. And those are the things that Dr. Fauci wants schools to be thinking about.
Hearing about a warning about bleach, a lot of Americans using it improperly during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. The CDC just minutes ago came out with a report that says 39% of Americans are using household products inappropriately. That includes doing things like washing your fruit and vegetables with bleach. You do not need to do that. Do not wash your fruits and vegetables with bleach. Even doing things like misting themselves with disinfectants, like, you know, with Clorox and Lysol, or gargling with some of these things. You know, we did see an increase, a couple of weeks ago when it had been talked about, you know, trying to get disinfectants into our bodies to fight the virus. The concern here is that there are some Americans who are doing some of these things, and it's very dangerous. You know, you need to keep away from, you know, don't mix bleach and ammonia. If you're using any of those household products, you need to keep your windows open. You need good ventilation, and don't let any of that stuff touch your skin or your food.
Thanks so much for bringing us up to date. Michelle Cortez, health reporter for Bloomberg News. Up next, Hawthorne Racecourse in the western suburbs set to resume racing this weekend.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Fans won't be in the stands, but there will be action at Hawthorne Racecourse this weekend. Let's get the details from Jim Miller, racing director at Hawthorne Racecourse in Stickney, Cicero. Jim, kind of give us an idea of what it's going to look like at the racecourse this weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different here at Hawthorne for the fact that we will have the live action taking place, and this is your first professional sporting event coming back to the area. But yeah, no fans on site, so this is about the horsemen racing at the racetrack. Fans can watch and wager online still in the state of Illinois. They're just not going to be here on site, at least at the start.
What is it like for the people who are there, the employees, the jockeys, the trainers? It's just got to be a really weird experience.
It has been. And you know what? They've been caring for their horses each and every day throughout the course of this pandemic. So the horses are fit. The horses are cared for daily. And just the mechanism of being able to earn that money and that purse money by racing live was the one thing that they didn't have. So now to be able to get back on the racetrack, to be able to race, to be able to earn some money, it really supports their business. And it's about the agribusiness in the state of Illinois, because this covers the entire state. So there's a huge level of excitement to get back on the racetrack. And I'll tell you, we're really looking forward to it this weekend.
Talk about that economic impact of racing, because I think a lot of people who aren't fans, they don't really pay attention to it. They don't really understand that there is a significant economic impact.
Right, exactly. And you just see here on the racetrack with the care of the horses, maybe just the trainer, maybe the jockey or the driver for a harness horse, and that's it. But really, it goes so much deeper. You have the breeding operations throughout the state of Illinois. You have the vets. You have the farriers. But also, you have just the care for these horses, the hay, the straw, the feed, all of that goes into the daily care of each and every horse. And horses are spread throughout the state of Illinois. It's not just here at Hawthorne. You'll have horses hopefully at Arlington Park later in the summer, down at Fairmont Park in Collinsville as well. So there are horses scattered all over the state. And really, to go into just the care for one horse, you're talking 15 to 20 people. So this is a huge economic impact that we're really happy to have back.
So people can bet online if they want. Any opportunities? There's a lot of people who just like going up to that betting window.
Yeah, and there are some opportunities. If you go to some of our off-track wagering locations or Hawthorne Racecourse earlier in the day, we have what's called a bet-and-go operations, where you have that facial covering, you can go in, you can place your wagers early on in the day. Those locations with the off-track betting locations that have outdoor seating, you can watch and wager on races there too. Now, of course, we're going to promote social distancing, facial covering, and do everything in regards to safety, but people will have those chances to place those wagers and then go home, tune in at night, tune in online, and watch, and hopefully they're winners.
All right. We'll see how it goes. Thank you. Jim Miller, racing director at Hawthorne Race Course, as racing gets back to Hawthorne this weekend. Still ahead on the Noon Business Hour, Entrepreneur Friday helps staying fit in a pandemic world.
This is Chicago's all news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The government jobs report for May contains a pleasant surprise.
This is Bernie Tafoya. The coronavirus pandemic forces a stop in construction of what will be the tallest skyscraper on South Michigan Avenue.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday. We meet the co-founder of an app you can use to link up with a personal trainer, either in person or virtually. As restaurants reopen, there's a challenge to keep both customers and workers safe. On Wall Street, the Dow up 982, the NASDAQ is up 223, and the S&P is up 93 points. Sunshine throughout much of Chicagoland, a few lingering clouds, and a chance for a little bit of rain later this afternoon as we head to a high of 88. Right now, 83 O'Hare, 78 degrees downtown. President Trump is hailing a Labor Department report showing surprising jobs gains last month.
The president's walk into the Rose Garden doubled as a victory lap.
This was an important day because this shows that what we've been doing is right.
Experts had predicted millions more job losses in May, but as states began reopening, the government reports employers added jobs. The president seized on the gains to predict the virus pandemic's economic devastation is over.
We'll go back to having the greatest economy anywhere in the world.
Still, the unemployment rate is 13.3%, lower than predicted, but still at a Great Depression level. It's unclear how many jobs lost during the pandemic are permanently gone. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A major construction project in downtown Chicago is now on hold.
The 1000M building is being constructed on 10th and Michigan. Developers tell the Tribune they had workers underground working tightly together, completely unable to remain 6 feet apart to try to keep from spreading the coronavirus. It's unclear when construction halted on the building designed by Helmut Jahn. In other construction projects, developers try to keep workers separated. They check their temperatures and even stagger their shifts to keep the work going, but to also keep people safe. 1000M will be 74 stories tall and have more than 400 luxury condos. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
If you're among the many working from home and you have a smart speaker, all you have to do is tell it to play WBBM News Radio. WBBM News Time, 12:33.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Stocks soaring higher today.
The Dow up more than 3.5%. Let's get some insight. Matt Shapiro is here, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Matt, is this all the unexpected jobs numbers?
It completely is, and thanks for having me on the easy day, Cisco.
It's the one of the few times I'm not asking someone, so how do we invest in the midst of a recession?
Really, and, you know, just a gap up opening and just tell you, like, everybody working from home. I was, on the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics website, kind of like logging in right at 7:29. I saw the one for the month before. Then I see this one pop up, and it says total non-farm payroll employment rose by 2.5 million in May, and the unemployment declined to 13.3. I was like, oh my God, that's 1,000 points in the Dow, and that's exactly what happened. It's never happened in the history of markets to have that's a 10 million swing in jobs. It's unprecedented. And so, this is a day of celebration. But again, like I said last week, take a look at some stocks maybe you don't want to have in your group going forward. If you were thinking about getting, of lightening up on a few things, today is the day to do it.
Yeah, because, okay, so great month. I mean, very unexpected. And then June may be a good month as well. One of the things we were talking about with economist Diane Swonk earlier is the fact that companies are not opening in the same way, and so they may not be hiring everyone back.
Right. So there's still going to be lots of turbulence. But if you look deeper in the jobs report, we still have 1.5 million people in government that have not come back. And what was really nice to see was huge gains in all those hard hit retail, small business, food and drinking coming back quickly. So, of course, yes, and a lot, will depend on the numbers and the coronavirus making people feel comfortable that they can kind of resume their daily lives again with, all the various modifications that we've now come to accept.
So you mentioned people should look over the portfolio. Is this, maybe they got a little kiss today with what's gone on here. Maybe they can get rid of some things while making a little money on them, or at least not taking as big of a loss.
Right. So, just take a look at some things. We've sold some things. I don't want to mention the names. They're household names. Nothing wrong with them. You could just as soon buy them. But just saying, maybe we could lose this one a little bit. And let me be clear, we are always invested in the markets generally. So even trying to be a little cute and tactical on a day like this, it's really a sweet, it's an NCAA, March Madness thing, whether statistically that's going to be beneficial. But take a look at your portfolio. There's something you don't need, especially the switch into technology. So if you've had a laggard kind of stock, maybe you're going to look at something like the NVIDIA's, Microsoft, Facebook, the things that are still doing extremely well despite all the, uncertainty.
We have the NASDAQ up about 9%, maybe a little more than 9% so far this year. What does that say to the people that when the pandemic hit and the markets really started tanking, the people who were yanking their money out of the markets?
Well, investors have been through a lot over the past 2 years. Remember, Cisco, we had the 20% decline at the end of the year in 2018, basically a bear market. That was a false one. Then we had the for real thing. And, as I always say, it doesn't go up. It won't stop going down until it goes up. And so that it did. So there was the only thing you could do at the time was buy. And so you had to kind of do a triage, sell some of the things that maybe were in oil or something and buy your Home Depots, the technology things. That was a great shift. Also, I think this also speaks to something that's happened over the past decade is that growth has won. And, you've seen sort of Warren Buffett not being a factor here in that value investing. So the market has already shifted over the last decade to these big, massive technology winners. And it turned out that they weren't really affected by all of the crisis. So there had already been that natural separation in the market. That's why you see the NASDAQ continuing to do so well.
Thanks so much. Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Just ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, an app to find a personal trainer and find places that are open for workouts. You can even be coached through a virtual workout.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Business Hour. This afternoon, we're meeting the founder of an app that helps fitness enthusiasts find the perfect trainer for both in-studio and virtual training sessions. We welcome Narissa Zhang, co-founder of the Bright app based in San Francisco. It's great to have you with us. For people who are not familiar with the app, kind of tell us, what does it do?
Yes, hello. The virtual marketplace, it connects you to a selection of trainers with a variety of skills so you can train in person or over Zoom.
And have you seen this obviously popular during a pandemic?
Yes, yes. You know, we're all sitting at home and we're all eating more and exercising less. And it's just easy to have someone in your home to give you proper feedback, you know, online. And so it's great. People, it's actually grew a lot because of it, because of the pandemic. The pandemic helped us push the marketplace a lot quicker.
So how, when someone goes on the Bright app, how do they know that this is a good trainer? Are they vetted? Are there reviews? How do they know?
Yeah. So right now they're vetted by me. We check their references. We do a phone interview. We do a background check. Most of these trainers, they either own their own gyms in New York, Manhattan, or they've worked for, you know, Equinox, which is now closed, and so they're out of work, or they've worked for other top gyms like Equinox, and they're professionals. We even have an Olympian on our app.
And it's people all around the world, so you don't necessarily just find a trainer in your neighborhood.
That's correct. So it's perfect, right? You can have an Olympian train you at your home in California, even though she's in Florida.
So how do the rates work? Does that Olympian charge his or her own rate and every trainer kind of sets their own?
That's correct. So it is free for you, the consumer. You just go on, browse as many trainers as you like, choose the trainer, and you just pay the trainer.
Okay. And virtual. So if I want to be in my living room doing this via a video conferencing software, I can do that.
Yes, you can. You could use FaceTime, Google Hangouts, Zoom.
So this app, obviously you didn't create this over the last month or two. So is this something where you have pivoted to really emphasize the online virtual experience because the pandemic opened that opportunity?
That is correct. So we built the marketplace in less than 2 weeks. So it's only 2 weeks old, and the app is 8 months old, and we built the app for the trainer side so that trainers could be more efficient at their business. And so the app still functions to do that, but now the marketplace just allows consumers to find them. So just like a virtual gym, like a real gym, you go there, you find a trainer, the trainer shows up for work, you pay the trainer. But now you can do it anywhere in the world, and you can have any trainer at any time at the palm of your hand.
So the marketplace feature, what that was something done in response to the pandemic?
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm sure that's certainly going to take off as a lot of gyms are not going to be reopening for a while, or at least not doing it in the same way. Yeah.
Right, right. And then the high-risk population, people who are just not going to be comfortable being in gyms anymore. And so they still want to train and be healthy. This is for you to be healthy.
Well, really interesting way to pivot and come up with new opportunities in a pandemic. That's what entrepreneurs do. They find new opportunities and take advantage of them. That is Narissa Zhang, co-founder of the Bright app. She is our Friday entrepreneur. Thanks for being with us. Just ahead, dining rooms in Chicago and across the country are reopening, but is it safe to go out to eat?
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As restaurants in Chicago and the suburbs reopen dining rooms, there is new emphasis on cleanliness and safety. We welcome Todd Franz to the program, food safety manager at UL, a global safety organization based in Los Angeles. Todd, so for restaurant owners trying to do this, trying to get that economic activity going again, but also trying to do it safely, what are a few tips? What are things they should keep in mind?
You know, they're going to look at things that are very differently about how you open the doors, right? Seating's going to be different. We've got space in between the seating. Chicago and Illinois is looking at keeping outdoor dining open before the next phase of allowing indoor dining even. And besides table spacing, your servers are going to be wearing masks. You'll see signage as you enter the restaurants to remind you not to enter. There's things happening even behind the scenes that you don't see as a guest, right? There's disinfection that happens after hours. They're looking at even vendors that come in and having health screenings for the vendors that are delivering the food, as well as health screenings for the employees when they first show up to work even.
How important is something like going cashless, only taking cards?
Yeah, non-contact seems to be a very important element of preventing COVID spread. And that's not just at restaurants. That's going to be across the board. But certainly at restaurants where we're so accustomed to that check being delivered to the table, if that still has to happen, you're even going to see things like restaurants going to disinfecting the pens that they use before they do that. But cashless is definitely the direction to move.
And I'm guessing someone going through the place, disinfecting door handles, making sure that every table gets disinfected after every customer.
Yeah, think about things that everybody touches, the high touch points that are normally there, like, you know, front door, cash registers, pin pads, menus that are reused, or condiments. You can expect to see things like reusable or disposable, actually, condiment packets now. Or maybe this ketchup's going to be brought out to you in a little ramekin jar instead of having the ketchup bottle sitting on the table.
Are buffets a thing of the past? I mean, are those ever going to come back? I'm thinking you have all these people coming in and touching those utensils.
Hey, you know, the restaurant industry is nothing if it's not innovative. They will find a way to bring the buffet back. But for the time being and for the foreseeable future, they are a thing of the past. So they'll come back in a different form at some point.
Well, we will hope for that. Let's also talk about hostesses, waiters, waitresses, because restaurant owners, they not only want to keep customers safe, they want to keep their employees safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That staff, like I said, they're going to be doing health screenings before they check in, midday. They will be keeping their distance from guests in a different way. You're going to see maybe one party seated at a time. You won't see parties waiting and congregating in a lobby area anymore, waiting to be seated. That line typically is going to take place outdoors. So hand washing, and, you know, don't forget, the food industry, it's old hat for us, hand washing and, you know, sneezing into your elbows and prevention of, you know, contamination. Some of these things, actually, the food industry has a little bit of a leg up on the rest of retail and being used to doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, years of training and putting it into practice. Yeah. Thank you so much, Todd Franz, food safety manager at UL, based in Los Angeles. If you missed any part of today's show, you can just go to our stream, skip back to the time you want to listen. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.